probably my parents had to speak politely to. So there is no place for fighting, for arguing, for calling all kinds of names, labeling people with different kinds of titles, and becoming abusive and using vulgar language. Now, this is not the shan of any alim. We have seen our Akabir, great differences they had. There were major differences. Look at the partition time, the differences between the ulama when it came to whether Pakistan or no Pakistan. What kind of differences there were. Then you look at all the ikhtilaf and the differences of opinion when it comes to the rulings of Imam Shafi'i rahmatullah alayhi, Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, and Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi. But where do they use that kind of language? In the same way, to believe that my opinion is the only correct opinion and nobody else's opinion can be even considered, that is not the shan of an alim. An alim of the deen, then he will present whatever he truly believes to be the Quran and Sunnah. If it is nafsi qat'i, if it is something that is proven from the Quran Sharif and the Sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and there is absolutely no room for any kind of discussion on that, it is nafsi qat'i, then we will say that on that, of course, we are not going to accept any person's view other than that view which is of the Quran and Sunnah. But wherever it's a mujtahid fi mas'ala, where is a mas'ala on which there is ijtihad that is being made, or there is istinbat, that deductions are being made from the different precedents that were set in the past, or the rulings of the fuqaha and the jurists, or from the ayat of the Quran Sharif and hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, then we have to have a large and an accommodating heart. Even if we disagree with that person, then we can keep our opinion, we can be firm on our opinion, we must practice on our opinion. But if there are other great ulama, great jurists, great muftis of the time, and they also are not just selling the deen to run to conclusions every time that somebody disagrees with us, is that they are selling the deen and they are compromising deen and sharia, that it should not be the attitude of an alim. The alim should have great sympathy, great love, great compassion, great mercy for the ummah, for the people. And when he's making nasihat also, if he's going to make it with that kind of compassion and mercy, then you will see the results also. People will come close to deen, they will start practicing on sharia, they will give up their sin, they will give up their evil habits. But this is, as I said, some nasihat, as you requested. For those who are like myself, I'm just an ordinary student, but I'm just revising my own lesson. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give the tawfiq of making amal. So there is definitely a very, very important role that the ulama play in the society. And those people who try to cut off the public from the ulama by condemning and rejecting outright that all ulama are like this and all ulama are like that, then they are going against Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's teachings. The fazail and the virtues of the learned scholars of deen, it has been mentioned clearly in the Quran Sharif, it has been mentioned in the hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. This is not the time, of course, to go into all those details. So there is a need for a balance. On the one hand, there is a need for those on whom the title of alim has been placed, that we have to be now very, very cautious and very, very careful, that we must not do things openly, publicly, or say things, or act in a manner whereby a community will be misled, or people will be misled, or people will say that if certain alim can do these type of things, then what is wrong if I have to do it? Whereas that is not right. If the alim is doing something wrong, he's a human being. And if we know that it is wrong what he is doing, then it is not right for us to follow that. If a Quran Sharif has been published incorrectly, say the pages of the Quran Sharif were incorrectly printed, there are mistakes and errors that are in the Quran Sharif printing, then we cannot throw away that Quran Sharif. What we will do is that we'll bury that Quran Sharif, we'll wrap it up in some nice cloth, put it in a box and won't bury it. But we won't make amal on those errors that have been printed in that Quran Sharif. In the same way, if an alim of deen has made some errors, he's made some mistakes, but he acknowledges his mistake, and if you have to ask him, then he will tell you that which is haq and that which is the truth. But then there is no need to say that if such some ulama are doing this and doing that, then why can't we do it? And what is, and all reject and condemn everyone? Because in every field, take the doctors. Look at how many doctors are brought up before the disciplinary committee for what kind of offenses. In the same way, look at the teachers, look at the lawyers, look at other people. How much of corruption in all fields. So in the same way, ulama-i haq and ulama-i su will always remain. So we have to be choosing, just like a person who's got a heart problem. He doesn't just go to any person's theater and just submit himself to any heart surgeon. He looks around, he checks around, he finds out from different people that who are heart specialists and who is a cardiologist and who is a cardiosurgeon. Now, when the person finds out that so-and-so in town are good cardiologists, then he also finds out that how many people recovered when they took treatment by him and how many people reached the Qabristan when they took treatment by him. So if he finds that more people have benefited and recovered, then he submits himself. So not just everyone that enters a Darul Uloom becomes a Maulana Sahab and Mufti Sahab and Qari Sahab. Not that every student who just wears a kurta and topi then he becomes a great Mufti Sahab or Maulana Sahab. How many times people tell us that the Imam in our masjid, Maulana so-and-so, he said this and he said that. But if you have to go and make some investigation and find out, then that person, he just did the hifz of the Quran Sharif. They don't have any Imam as an alim, so they have made him an Imam. Now he has given some bayan, and in there he has said something. Or sometimes the person doesn't even have the basic knowledge. Many, many cases there are like that. So therefore, we too have to be very choosy, but we should not condemn and reject the ulama at the wholesale because some alim is doing this or some alim is doing that. We must respect them because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's deen, where else are we going to get it from? If we are going to break off or we're going to cut off, and that was what the British tried to do when they came into India, that cut them off from their ulama. And once they succeed in that, then shaitan has succeeded. Because now there will be no need for any guidance from the alim. Now every person will become a mufti himself. He will say that in my opinion it is this, in my opinion it is that. We never do this when it comes to law. No matter how much I may be, how good I may be in English, and what my knowledge of English grammar may be, and understanding of English may be, or my knowledge of law may be, but without qualification, the person is not allowed to represent anybody in court. He cannot practice as an advocate. He can't say that I read the statute book also. I read the laws also. There he cannot say, in my opinion, this clause means this and clause means that. They will go by those who are experts in that field. But the only thing in which every person can give his opinion, one is to read the Quran Sharif, read the stories of the nations of the past, read all the ayat on akhlaq, on muamlat, on muasharat, our dealings, our transactions, our etiquette, our morals, and qudrat of Allah Ta'ala, glory of Allah Ta'ala, creation of Allah Ta'ala. Now all those things read, but when it comes to masail, then we have to draw the line and say the people who are experts in this, they have to be contacted. And if there is a difference of opinion amongst them, then we will choose who in our opinion is reputable and the best. After that, if there is an error in that person's knowledge, what he has imparted to us, then he is responsible. But as far as we are concerned, we must make the choice in its complete sincerity. We must be not jumping from alim to alim just so that we find some kind of ruling to suit our taste. Then inshallah there will be peace in our society, everything will progress, and there will be harmony, and there will be unity, and even the public and the ulama, there will be some kind of unity between them.
Beshak, Beshak, Hazrat Maulana, Jazakumullah Khair. I'm sure many of the people listening, both ulama, scholars, and students of Deen, as well as our many listeners of Channel Islam International, will take heed to the wonderful nasiha, advice, and steps and methods by which we could, inshallah, implement within our lives, inshallah. We'd like to move on now, Hazrat Maulana, with your permission, onto the science of tasawwuf, as we understand that this is something that is incumbent upon every single believing male and female, that we alter our lives according to the methodology and the way accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, taught to us by our beloved master Sayyidina Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I understand this is perhaps a topic that we would require months on end to discuss, but in brief, in a nutshell, if Hazrat Maulana could first of all teach us about the importance of linking oneself to a sheikh, the methods of selecting a kamil and a honest and a pious sheikh, and what exactly takes place in the process of reformation.
Well, no, this is indeed a very, very important topic, and what we have noticed is that wherever the proper methodology is adopted, or wherever there is something that is done properly according to the Quran and Sunnah, and there are people also who are doing it with sincerity and with dedication, and they have no other motive, no other purpose, except that they themselves link themselves to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and they guide others also in this straight path, then you will always get the bogus ones coming in. In every field you will get this, just as you get the good teachers, you get the bad ones, the good lawyers, the bad ones, the good doctors, the bad ones. In the same way, in this field also, there was a time when nobody really spoke about bay'at, nobody spoke about sheikh. The only thing that we heard of is that some great alim came from overseas, he gave some bayan, some waaz, some nasihat, and he left the country, and he taught some wazifas to the people, and then he was gone. But there was no real interest as such in becoming bay'at, or taking tasawwuf seriously, or finding out what suluk is all about, and what tazkiyat and nafs and qalb is all about. There was not such an interest as in recent times. So this is with the barakat of all the Darul Ulooms, all the Madaris, all the Khanqahs, all the radio stations that are propagating Deen and Islamic teachings, that the Ummah is coming alive to a lot of things, that they have come to realize that there is also a need for a person to have a mentor for the purposes of Islam. Now, indeed, what you had mentioned earlier, that this is a topic that I think we need a full hour or more, and we can carry on, but just to give the gist of the whole thing, is this, that every person has got some kind of akhlaq, which we term as akhlaq-e-hamida and akhlaq-e-razira. The good akhlaq the person has to bring into his life, and all the bad characteristics he has to remove from his life. Now, for every individual, it's not just a question of those who are murid, those who are bay'at, those who have got some sheikh. For every Muslim, because the Quran Sharif is for everyone. The Quran Sharif is hidayat and guidance for everyone. And the Quran Sharif is inviting